It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Nights. Hello, and welcome back to Baywatch Watch Nights. I'm Charlie,
and I'm Zach,
and we're back. We've got a great guest with us today. He is an actor, a comedian, and a musician. Please welcome to the show, Yaki Margulies.
Yay! Hi.
Hello, Yaki. Thanks for being here on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a delight.
Thanks for being here. We're 15 episodes, 14 episodes.
14 episodes.
You know what? So the thing is Yaki, it's gotten a little murky, because, our friend Amanda Gould, a good friend of ours,
this is who uploaded it on YouTube that we all watched it. The link that I sent
she uploaded them like 12 years ago. We have no idea who she is, but she's an unsung hero. Yeah. But, she got a couple of the episodes out of order. So there was an episode that we reviewed a few weeks ago called Mobius, that I believe is episode 17 of this season.
Yeah.
And so that was, we did that one already. So this is episode 14, but it's labeled 15 on the, YouTube. Either way.
I don't know. It's confusing.
Yeah.
But I expected better of Amanda.
I did. I know. We all did.
Yeah.
It's her one flaw, though. Truly.
Yeah. Otherwise, she's kept the show alive. As we were saying before we started the pod, this episode is a big setup that almost feels like it would be like a pilot episode of a TV series.
It does, actually. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, in the sense that it sets up an overarching umbrella plot.
Yeah,
that
affects the world.
Yes, that affects the world. That sets up the Knights Templar organization.
Okay,
The
Immortal Knights Templar.
Yes, Immortal Knights Templar that has its hands in everything. Teague, who is a character in this show, Yaki, he is looking for his one chance to assassinate.
Yes.
The head of the Knights Templar, Stallinger.
Stallinger.
It doesn't work. And then the episode ends. We get the back of Stallinger's head. And then we will likely never see Stallinger again.
At some point, I think Teague says he's like a faceless person. And I was really hoping like he had no face.
Yeah.
And I want to see that, but. We don't get, so maybe he does have no face, but we don't get.
I thought they described him as ageless, but then he's clearly.
He's so old.
Aged. I would describe him as aged without a doubt.
I thought it was going to be the blonde guy. And I was like,
I thought so too. That makes more sense.
But that guy was so 80s.
Like, yes. I was like, he has to be old at least. Like, but you would think he would be like old, but strong, you know, like,
but
instead he's feeble. And,
And we
see the representatives of the other cities that have Knights Templar organizations.
Yes, the four continents, I believe. I love that because I was like, four continents? Why didn't just say, you know, like six or seven, even if you want to say Antarctica.
Right. All well, yeah.
Just say all of them. Why not?
The Antarctica Knights Templar. I
love it. Oh, that'd be awesome if they had a little penguin cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. He's there at the end. He's like waddling over. He's like, "You look good, Stallinger."
You mean the penguin from Batman? Sure.
Oh yeah, the penguin. Oh yes.
Ooh. I just felt like a cute penguin. But sure, the penguin from Batman. Yeah. Well, I will say, as somebody who's never watched this show and has never seen Baywatch either, I feel like this was a great introduction episode. I feel like I was able to figure out, for the most part, all the characters, at least their names. They say their names a lot. So
yes.
Yes, they do say their names quite a bit.
You get some lifeguarding from Mitch too, actually, because that's what he does like almost every episode of Baywatch is save someone's life in the water. So
yes, I know that much, and I have seen like the Zac Efron movie.
Okay, yes.
Okay, so have we. So it is funny that there is that moment in this episode where they're like, the cop is like, they kidnapped him, probably want some money. And Griff's like, he doesn't have any money. Yes. He's a lifeguard.
Yeah. And I put that in my like, notes as well. I don't know. Again, I don't know if this, like, you said this is like a passion project that I assume is meant to make David Hasselhoff just look cool. But
right.
Yeah. I did write down that they're like, oh, it's funny that they slam lifeguards.
Yeah. Slam his other job, the other show.
Yeah.
Also, wait, so since I didn't ever figure it out, who is Teague? Because I thought they were all lifeguards, but then I was like,
no,
I guess
just Mitch.
Mitch is the only one who's a lifeguard. So this show.
Yeah, what is the premise?
Is so in season yeah, one okay. of this show, the show had a completely different premise. Yeah. So the premise was that Mitch, Ryan, and Garner, who's a character from Baywatch, that they're all private eyes. And so they're just investigating crimes.
And they kind of kept that for this season, but they don't actually do private eye stuff really ever. It's just they have their office still.
Garner's gone. Mitch Garner's and Ryan gone. Are the only two who remain from season one. They introduced Teague, and now everything they do is basically the X-Files. Yeah. This episode had nothing supernatural in it, really. But normally, the show is very supernatural. We're talking, they get sucked into post-apocalyptic futures. Mm-hmm. They got aliens. They got everything,
yeah,
right?
Wild and monsters, so, yeah.
Yes. And Teague works for a shadowy government organization. Mm-hmm. Maybe a private organization. Who knows?
It could be. Yeah, that's not clear. Yeah. He's a man of mystery. It's just like you don't really ever find out much about him.
I was disappointed that there wasn't anything supernatural. And that was sad for me, but also I was trying to figure out because Ryan, that's the lady, right?
They
said that she's his partner, and I was like, maybe his lifeguard partner.
She is, she has taken on the role in this season. Last season, she was someone who like had some science background, but she could basically get the lab to do things, and like get them to do things fast. So if they need like blood work or whatever. But in this season, she is like a scientist who knows everything about everything that's
everything,
ever happened.
Basically,
Well,
I don't feel like she got to show off any of that in this
episode. She didn't. Not this episode. Didn't. Yeah, you can't tell. But there'll be an episode. She'll just look at like a smear on the wall and she knows exactly what the composite of it is, exactly where it came from. She just knows everything. She fills in any information they want the viewer to know, basically, and to move the plot
That's
along.
Perfect. What a helpful plot device. Also,
yes.
Besides Hasselhoff, are any of these other actors been in the Baywatch, like the regular show?
There's a character that wasn't. No, well, Donna is going to be on it, or is concurrently, but she has been only in like two episodes this season.
I haven't seen her in forever. I totally forgot about
her. She's in the opening credits, but
yeah,
we never see her. So,
but nobody in this episode is in.
Yeah,
regular
no one
Baywatch.
In this one. Well, yeah. As we know.
We are to assume that while he is a private eye, he is
full time.
Still a lifeguard, and those Baywatch adventures are still maybe happening. But
absolutely,
still happening.
They in some episodes they actually make note of that.
Okay.
He's like, just got off work at being a lifeguard, and then he goes and does this whatever stuff, whether it's season one or two. He's working double shifts basically.
All right. Well, lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's believable.
Let's talk season two, episode whatever, Ascension, whatever number it is.
Episode 14.
Okay. Yeah. Well, who knows?
Charlie has his doubts.
Let's get Amanda in here. Okay. So we open with Teague outside a gate, and he is being watched by three different men. And those men they start chasing him. He decides to run. He jumps over a fence.
They're all men in suits, by the way. And
they're all men
have
in
like
suits.
Earpieces.
They all look like Agent Smith. That's what I agree.
Right.
I agree, yeah.
And
especially when they get Mitch. That was kind of cool. There's like
he goes up onto a roof and gets away. And they're like, damn it. Where the hell did he go? We lost him. And so right off the bat, so once we know what this episode is about, are they're chasing Teague, but Teague is also chasing them?
I think Teague just wants to assassinate the big guy, and these little guys are trying to intercept him just so that he can't do anything.
But what we learn later on is that Teague is lured to the hospital
There's some holes in this.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So I guess if you can't catch him, lure him out.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole kidnapping Mitch and Ryan thing really made no sense. You're like, why would they need? They're like,
why
just tell
would
us.
They need them?
And they,
yeah.
They don't even seem to know what they're asking, but they're like, they tell don't. Us, does he know?
It's like, also, what? I feel like I could be misremembering, but I feel like when they first catch Hasselhoff, he has no idea what's going on.
Right.
But I feel like later when he's trying to escape, I feel like he then knows everything.
He figures out everything, yeah.
How did you, like, nobody's talked to you yet. You haven't seen
yeah.
him.
Yeah, when him and Ryan escape from the bullets of the guys in suits, whatever, he suddenly just knows everything that's going on. He's like, no, the meeting's not here. I'm like, what? How does he, like you said.
Or the fact that he knew that Kyoko was a, was
exactly.
bad.
Yeah, he didn't.
I
you lucky, like, lucked out.
It's been helpful to watch this through the lens of like how you described it before, Zach, is like this is just Hasselhoff trying so hard to have a passion project, and I yeah. love that. Like, it's very clear, like, he doesn't really have a character. He's just sort of good at everything, and he's cool, and yes. none of the lines actually are cool, but you can tell every line he's like, this is a cool line too, and he's like,
well, I thought Clinton doesn't inhale was a pretty cool line.
Okay, yeah, that you're right. You are, yeah, yes, Yaki, I think you're right overall, but Clinton doesn't
yeah,
inhale.
Yeah, Clinton doesn't inhale.
crazy little political ad in there.
I yeah, know.
What, let's see, wait, this is like 97 this is on, right?
This is 96, so 97, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
that was like 92, that was like right, wasn't that right at the election? Yeah.
Exactly, I was like, that's a like, joke.
Yeah.
It's not even a joke, but you know, it's just.
Do you feel like that was them being like, Clinton's cool, or is it them being like, no, we have conservative values and we think,
you know what, in the 90s I think everybody was just like Jay Leno-ing everything.
Sure.
So it's like the jokes were like apolitical. It was just like yeah. you would make jokes about that, you'd make jokes about Monica Lewinsky when that happened. It was just like everyone was just doing it, and they never really thought that there was any kind of like politics associated with it. It was just mm-hmm. Like SNL being like, well, Clinton talks like this, you know, so it's like, oh, that's the joke is, and then Andy's horny. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like now everything is.
I feel like Charlie's probably right. That would be my guess as well, but I don't know. Yeah. It's not 100% clear. Cause they did make a joke about Clinton in Baywatch. I forget what season that was. It was like season 4 or 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
There was like a cardboard cutout of Clinton.
There was.
And I don't remember what exactly Mitch said about it though. But so maybe he's got a thing for Clinton.
Regardless, it is the best line of the episode, maybe.
Yeah.
So then Teague is driving on the phone and he says to someone that he doesn't want any more surprises. Then at Mitch's house, a bunch of guys break into his house in a very unnecessary way, right?
Yeah, I also just want to point out, did everyone else think it was strange when they zoomed in on his door and he has his last name?
His last name.
Huge letters on his front door. I was like, what kind of dumbass would do that? That's weird, right?
That's a very, I would say when we were younger, a lot of my friends' families would have their last, and it would be like the Millers, the da da da. And it would,
I'm calling everyone out from 30 years ago. You're fucking fools.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like that's just inviting someone to like come up and be like, hey, Mr. Buchanan. It's like, what?
People
your
used
friends
to not
know where you live. You
doors.
Don't need to let everyone else know.
I feel like it was big in the 80s and 90s for kids to have like shirts with their names on them. And then people realize, like, oh, yeah, then kids get kidnapped. We got to stop doing this.
Yeah.
I also want to say real quick before we move on to the next scene.
Yes.
That opening scene where I don't know who Teague is yet, I just love how much he was just like smoldering for like so long. So many shots of him just like glaring and looking very sultry. And it was it was a delight to watch. And then when they do kidnap Hasselhoff, I was like, I'm getting a lot of like Schadenfreude joy from seeing them put a bag over his head.
Well, and of course he got Tiesta. Yeah. So when they break into his house, they use like basically like, in Ocean's 11, if you were trying to cut open a vault, like you would use this laser thing.
Yeah, the cop called, he said it's a Stilson laser saw.
Stilson laser saw. So, which I almost think a lock pick would have done just fine, sure. but this looks cooler. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they break in. Mitch wakes up, immediately goes into fighting mode because you're not going to catch Mitch Buchanan unaware. Yeah.
But this is a rarity for Mitch to be kidnapped to be someone. Yeah, this doesn't happen very often. This sort
too
of
many
thing.
Guys. Yeah, but yeah, he gets his licks in, especially as he's about to be carried out the door. He breaks free for a second. Yeah,
Mitch was sleeping in like sweats, and I really wished he was like in just like pajamas, because that would have been fun the whole episode.
Or his shirt
Mitch,
off. Yeah, just as like right? boxers.
Yeah. Or yeah, or he's like, tonight's the night.
Red
it's a hot
shirt.
Night. I'm going nude.
He's just and wearing then, that red shirt the entire time. Also, poor Ryan is wearing this like crop top and has to wear it for the whole episode, because when she decides to go over with a gun to Mitch's house, she doesn't like put on more clothes. It's like, I would just feel like that exposure would make you feel vulnerable.
It's summer. She
Maybe she's like, I'll go over, I'll shoot whoever's there, and then I'll go back to bed.
I mean, again, I don't know that much, but it's Baywatch, so like, I feel like they gotta put her in like a hot outfit.
You know, but she's a little different. I feel like they have been trying to do that, but Ryan is someone who is, I would say, maybe like the least sexualized character on Baywatch,
right? For the
right?
most part, there's like a couple episodes over these last two seasons that kind of
very rarely, but one thing is that she's like obsessed. Her character is like obsessed with David Hasselhoff. She loves him.
Do you believe it?
Hey, aren't we all?
That's true.
So then Ryan wakes up at 3:15. She had a bad dream. Decides to call Mitch, but someone takes the phone off the hook. They should have just let it ring.
That makes no sense. Like, they showed everyone leaving, basically, and then one guy's like, I'm going to go back in just in case anyone calls. Just lift the receiver up.
Yeah, just to and let her know that something is wrong.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I forgot that you used to be able to call the operator and be like, what's going on with this person's house? And then he'd be like, oh, the phone's off the hook. The operator could know exactly what's going on at their house.
Also, wait, but, I don't... Again, because I've never seen any other episodes of this show, but is she in love with Hasselhoff, or is she just obsessed with him? Okay.
No, she's basically in love with him. Yeah, it's not obsessed like in an unhealthy way. It's more in an unrealistic way, in the sense that.
But I also wonder if it was like a platonic obsession, where she's just like, he's so cool, I want to be like him, or if she's like, I'm very into him.
No, she's already told him she loves him.
Oh, yeah, and he's not into her.
No, he is too.
He is, but he's more in a Han Solo way, literally. In one episode, she says, I love you, and he says, I know. So.
Yeah. All right, we'll
have
four episodes.
Yeah.
There's some great episodes.
He likes her, but I think he's keeping his options open, right?
Because
women throw themselves at Mitch all the time.
Gotcha.
Or vampires sometimes.
Yeah.
Androids.
Or video game characters.
Video game characters, yeah.
What video game character does he flirt with?
It's like an invented one.
Yeah, they got sucked into a video game, and so an archer.
Basically,
Shihani
like an RPG type game.
Yeah. She says he wins her, and so he starts making out with him, and then she tries to kill him. So.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
But he goes for it, and I think he thought this would be a good way to go.
Pretty sexy.
Yep. So then Ryan gets her gun. Mitch is, yeah.
By the way, I guess she's a PI, but that was a little surprising too. I was like, whoa, she sleeps with a gun just right there.
Right there in her sock drawer.
She doesn't really tote a gun around most episodes, right?
And she did seem uncomfortable with the gun. Like, when she opened the drawer, she hesitated and was like, do I take the gun? And then she did. So it doesn't sound like the gun is something that she's too comfortable with.
Yeah.
But she said out loud, do I take the gun?
Do I? Yes.
That's just to let the audience know, like, this is serious.
Yes.
Yes. She also, that happens a lot in Baywatch, is she narrates a lot. Because it was like, if I call Mitch at 3:15 in the morning.
I know. I love her talking to her stuff with the phone. That was a great introduction to the character for me.
Yeah.
So Mitch is thrown in a cell.
It's like an octagon
shaped
room
with a little, I couldn't tell if it was glowing at the bottom or if that was just outdoors, but it's indoors later.
I was hoping, I thought it was going to be aliens.
I thought so too.
Should have been right. Probably.
Yeah. It's very, okay. So the idea was supposed to be that the Knights Templar were going to have their worldwide meeting in mm-hmm. this shitty hospital.
Yeah.
Like, so in everything else, it would be in, like, New York City, in, like, this, like, ornate, like, place with, like, thousands of guards.
Like, or, like, it looked like they went to a nice place at the end of the episode. Why was it there?
Before? We've been to that place before.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
That place has been used in, yes.
Yes, that's where the Yakuza guy.
The Yakuza guy, yeah. Yeah.
They love that location.
A lot of our locations are repeat locations.
By the way, they take the point to show that there's a camera in Mitch's cell, but like later on, you realize that was useless because he easily escapes.
He does, but with this, when he thinks it's a snake, when he thinks it's a snake, that's her spray painting the camera.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You know what? Yes, I didn't even realize what that was for.
Actually. Yeah. She was blacking out the camera.
Okay, that.
Yeah.
I thought she was just like, he's on drugs. I'm going to psychologically torture him by making.
I would love if she just starts tagging.
Yeah.
He's asleep. I'm going to tag his cell and he's going to get in trouble. So then, Mitch asks what's going on. He's pissed because you don't lock
Mitch. He's cranky. Yeah. He woke up in the middle of the night.
Somebody talk to me.
Ryan gets to Mitch's with her gun. She sees
I gotta ask you guys something, right? So did you see where her gun was when she arrived?
Was it in her waistband?
It's basically in between her back pants, the pants in back between her pants and the butt crack.
It would have fallen. Yeah.
Well, it would have fallen, but I was also like, that's a weird place to put a gun. I don't know what the best, let's say you don't have a holster. I don't know what the best place feels like. Every place is like, it's a little dangerous.
Yeah.
But I feel like that was almost one of the worst places to put it, right? Like in your back, kind of almost
that,
like,
or pointing like straight down at your dick.
Yeah, don't point it straight at your dick.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the wrong choice.
But don't a lot of people like put it in their belt, like right?
They do. Yeah, I mean, it's if weird, the though, safety right? is on,
I guess that's the idea. I always remember, I think it's Plaxico Burress, right, from the New York Giants, like shot himself in the foot by accident, and then he's sort of, whatever. That's a whole other thing, but he had to go to jail. But yeah, it's just like that. That does that sort of stuff does happen where someone just like the gun goes off. I don't know. Mm. They ain't safe, everyone.
Yeah. She didn't shoot her butt off.
She could have shot her butt off.
She could have. But then she gets attacked and gagged as well. Yeah. And then we get our credits.
Also, wait, real quick. Before they kidnap her, when they kidnap Mitch, they just put a bag over his head. But when they kidnap her, they put like a weird thing in her mouth.
They put it in Mitch's mouth too.
Oh, they did? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was another thing that was like, it's got to be aliens. I don't know what this
is. Yeah, hers was a little more graphic in the way that they showed it, but they did that to Mitch too, because I was like, they put something as,
What do you think that is? It's just like to muffle them? Or
I think it's so that when the bag's over his head, you can still breathe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought it was like drugging them. But maybe
could be that too, yeah.
That would be, could be. I mean, that would be just a really inefficient way of just like, no, it could be.
People put bags over their heads all the time, and like, I think they can still breathe when it's not like when it's a cough bag.
These are non-breathing bags.
Okay.
These kind of guys, they can't afford the ones that are nice and breathable, so they gotta come up with another way. So then we cut to the cops investigating with Griff. This cop was amazing. Just like, what do you got going on with your friends? Yeah. He's just very no nonsense. And
I like again to play into the whole like Mitch can do no wrong. He's the coolest guy ever. I love that his friend was like, you don't know Mitch. It would take like at least six people to take him down. Right. And he's like, the cop like takes that as a fact. He's like, okay, then we're gonna say there's six people here.
Yeah. And they don't like suspect Griff at all. They don't like.
Who was that guy? That's like.
So Griff kind of works with them. He's a photographer
/friend,
but he is brought in to assist Mitch in a lot of the physical elements of their particular police work. Mm-hmm. And later they just give him a machine gun.
That reminded me of that episode when him and Mitch went to nightclub and Mitch is like, here's a handgun before we go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't give him a handgun. He doesn't know what he's doing.
And now they're giving him a machine gun. He almost shot both of them.
Freaking head off. Yeah.
So then Mitch is being interrogated. He tells them to call 411 if they want information.
Is that his second funniest line, guys? What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still though Clinton doesn't inhale, but he is full of quips, at least. So yeah, I appreciate
the joke. He really is.
I know if I was on a date with him, I would be enchanted.
Just quipping the night away.
Yeah, he can't. He's so cool.
Yeah.
And the questions are like, how close are they? And we eventually find out that's how close is Teague to finding out where we are.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. This is part of the problem with this episode, but like, it's like this voice, which I guess is Stollinger, right? He doesn't seem to know what he's asking.
No.
He's like, just tell us. And Mitch is like, tell you what? And he's like, tell us. It's like, he doesn't know. It's like, right. Unclear to him.
And so he just says, like, yeah, I think he confused. Just says, how close are you? And I thought he was talking about maybe like him and Brian. And I was like, how close are you? And I was like, again, I think it's aliens and they're probing them and they're going to make them
right.
Like, sex stuff.
He's like the worst interrogator because it's like if you're interrogating someone, you want to be clear what you're asking or something or lead him in that direction. He's just vague and doesn't know what he's asking.
And listen, if you're the guy who's the head of this thing, you're not doing your own interrogation.
Of course not.
Do we know
Stollinger?
We don't know it was.
It was the same voice that later in the episode was like, Mr. Teague on the tape machine.
That's what I felt it was too.
But yeah.
You're right. It's not a clear. It could be the blonde guy at the very end. Who knows?
The blonde guy.
He did have kind of old man voice, though.
He did. I think it's Stollinger, but once again, it doesn't really make sense why he'd be the interrogator.
So then he keeps asking. They give Mitch a truth serum, sodium pentothal, and then they put nodes on Ryan's head.
Yes.
And start electrodes or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yikes.
Make him talk, maybe?
Yeah, torturing her.
But they don't know what they're asking. Oh, yeah, and this is where Mitch lets us know he's not a flat earther, thankfully.
Yes. Says, the world is round, cats land on their feet, and Clinton doesn't inhale.
There you go.
They only raise it to intensity 3 on Ryan, but we don't know what it's out of. Yeah, they
does
go like
go 10 or more.
There does it go to 3?
3 might not be that bad then, right? Well, 3 is the most. That's pretty bad.
It's like a fan.
But I feel like if I was this interrogator and that was part of my whole thing, I'd be disappointed if I ordered this off Amazon. I was like, I only chose a 3.
Yeah.
Great. That's not much variety there.
Yeah.
You want more numbers, right?
Yeah. It's probably got more.
Yeah.
Mitch is like, God, you bastards.
He made a really funny face. I don't know if I remember how it was. Did you guys catch that? He was like, when she did, he was like, oh.
Well, he's just like, he has no like the fan. He has no settings. He's just 0 or 10.
This is true. This is very Mitch. Yeah.
I bet he's also worried they're going to like, it's going to like mess with Ryan's brain and then he's not going to want to have sex with her anymore.
Wait, he said that he mentions that he thinks it's going to like make her dumber or something.
No, that's what I'm saying. As I'm saying, he's worried that it's like almost like a lobotomy, you know, like electroshock therapy, and that she's going to be like just like a drooling mess afterwards. It's and like, he's going to be like, ah, damn it.
Dang.
I just interpreted it as he didn't want her to be in pain, but maybe it's a little
charitable. We think he's a man who should be in jail.
Yaki, if this was Mitch, this is what's funny about this, but if it was Mitch on Baywatch, you are 100% correct.
Yes, he would this only Mitch, be trying
I think
to
Charlie's
say, yeah.
right. He's just like, yeah. oh, I was hoping yeah. to have sex later this week.
Baywatch oh. Mitch is a father figure. He's got a child that is not in this, who lives at that house, who is just not in this,
never
in,
the episodes,
in this series. Because it's the same house. But he,
I guess
in this, he's a Lothario. He is just running his way through town.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have to assume that since it's Baywatch Nights, it doesn't just mean like spooky things at night. I think it also means like it's sexier Baywatch.
After hours.
After hours.
Yes.
He's being a dad at this point in the night.
Yeah, he's not wasting as much time because he gets it on quite a bit in regular Baywatch, but it's always under the guise of trying to find a mother for his children. And he always like lights a fire. He's always got a fire, a roaring fire romantic, going. Yeah. It's very romantic. And in this, he's just like wherever, whenever.
This one, I'm sure he sends Hobie away to his friend's house like every night. He's like, go yeah. sleep at your friend's house again tonight. Yeah. I don't really want you around.
The cop is checking out the agency in the lab. And he's like, what kind of work do you guys do here? I'm going to tap the phone just in case. Cop never comes back. Never see him.
Never comes back yet. Yeah. He just drops out like halfway or even less.
Also, yeah. somewhere around here, there's a scene where somebody goes on a computer and it's like, welcome to Cyber Earth.
Cyber Earth, yes.
What is that?
We don't know. This is new for us. Yeah.
Yeah, what is did you think Cyber Earth was something we are very familiar with?
That's why I thought it was like aliens and it was their thing, but then it never came back. So I was like, oh, maybe that's just like a thing from this show.
A modern show, most likely it would have been like throughout the season. It'd be like, oh, it's Cyber Earth again. Another clue about Cyber Earth or whatever, something. We know
what the idea, I think, is that because this was in a very primitive time of the internet, mm-hmm. but they were trying to make it super high tech, is that he was making a phone call through this Cyber Earth thing by typing ******8.
Yeah, six stars and then an eight. And that's how you get to Teague.
And then it's just Teague also shows up. Right.
That made no sense.
It's a voicemail.
He leaves a voicemail for him. 2 seconds after he finishes the voicemail, he gets a phone call from Teague.
Is there.
And then 2 seconds after he calls him, he walks through the door.
Right. Like, he calls him back and then he walks through the door. Was he waiting outside?
Teleportation? Maybe Cyber Earth is like a teleportation device thing.
I hope so, because he literally was on the phone with him and at the same time he's in the doorway of the room.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yes. Unless he's like an alien himself or something.
Yeah.
But again, really, this episode, despite all the clues, was devoid of aliens.
Yeah.
By the way, in this scene with the detective, this last scene with Griff, he asked him, because he's like, oh, this is a PI agency. He's like, what kind of PIs are they? And Griff says, that's a hard question, which I thought was funny because I'm like,
yeah.
What is this show?
I couldn't tell you.
At this point, we don't know what they are. No one knows.
I mean, are they not paranormal PIs?
I guess they don't. I don't think they get paid for it at all, though. This is just like Teague says, "Hey, we got this thing.
Job.
We want your help with it," and they just do it out of kindness, I guess, or
because
they're interested.
Like when he says Mitch doesn't have any money, he's a lifeguard. If this was his job, he would say he's a private investigator.
or do you think
like a hobby?
Do you think there's a chance that this is like a government contract that they're working off of? They're going to bill them later.
A grant.
It's like, what's that one? BlackRock or what is it?
Blackwater.
Blackwater. Yeah. Thank you. They're going to charge them they're going to charge the government like $5 billion or something like that.
Yeah. Mitch and Ryan. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to blame them on this though, because they really worked hard on this one. All the
episodes. And you get it's the risk associated with it.
The series finale is just them sending in
invoices. Yeah, sending in the bill. Teague's like, what the? Oh my God. Overtime. Yeah, we were trapped in another dimension for days.
Yeah.
That counts.
So then Mitch wakes up and is dragged away. They tell the girl, who ends up being Kyoko, that she gave too much. They love to do this in this show, is like, take forever to tell us someone's name, and then it feels like 25 minutes into the episode, someone will say, I don't even know your name, and then they give it to him, when like you could have had Stallinger just be like, Kyoko, you gave him too much, and then we'd have a character name, but either way.
Wait, are you talking about when Kyoko comes in and rescues him?
Kyoko was the woman giving him the drugs.
Oh, yeah, but is that the scene you're talking about, or...
No, this is when he's being dragged back to his cell.
Oh, yeah.
Because
they gave him too much.
Yeah. No, yeah, but I was saying it's later, annoying that we don't have her name yet.
100%, yeah.
Later in the vents is when he's like, I don't even know your name.
Right, yes. Right.
None of us do. The viewers don't.
So but then Griff is like, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love, maybe I'm jumping ahead, but like right after that scene where he sees like a wolf and a
wolf. Oh, the devil? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we're not there. We're not quite there yet, but yes, we're going to talk. We're definitely going to talk
about
that
scene. Yeah.
The wolf and the devil. So Griff is looking for Teague's number. It's a bunch of stars and an eight. He Googles it and goes to Cyber Earth, which seems to be a person Google, but which beams them to your location. He leaves a message for Teague, and Teague shows up after the phone call.
He's right there.
Yep. So Mitch is back in his cell and feeling woozy.
He's tripping out, basically.
Yes, he's hallucinating. He sees a dog snarling.
A wolf, I think, actually.
A wolf snarling, and then the devil.
Yes, it's like a gargoyle demon. Yeah. Got wings. I love this. I was like, that is so cool looking. I'm like, why is that in this episode?
Because yeah.
It
didn't
fit, but I love it.
I have to assume because this is a non-supernatural episode, they were like, we got to fit some magic in somehow.
Yeah.
That's just going to be his drug vision. But I, again, was like, ooh, is that what this episode's about? Do they have, demons? And then I also, no.
What if that was Stollinger? Ah, dang.
That would have been cool. So much cooler.
Right?
Oh, my God. That would be cool. I would love that. It was like, you already met Stollinger.
That was Stollinger, yeah.
So, but... the problem is, and this happens in Baywatch all the time, is that this hallucination thing isn't important at all.
It's
like it doesn't mean anything for the episode. He's not hallucinating later. Right. He's just tripping. He sees a snake.
Even then, that does, it doesn't matter later. Because
the snake ends up being Kyoko tagging the camera.
I had a theory. I thought when I was like, why is she spraying in there? I thought that was Febreze. And I think it's because
he's been farting.
That too. He shit his pants. He was having these visions, these demons, and he just shit his pants. And
so
she's
like,
I'm going to air this place out.
I truly thought she was just making that spray can sound because she was like, he'll think it's a snake.
It's a snake.
She's like, this will be so funny. He's going to think it's a snake.
But this is before where she tries to help him. So I thought it was just like, fun extra torturing him.
Yeah.
There's no reason for her to do this ruse, right? Oh, no, there is. She wants him to lead her to Teague?
No. She wants them to go up there to be shot by those guys in suits. Yeah, there's no reason.
Why wouldn't the guys just walk into the cell and shoot them?
Exactly. It's so dumb. But it is funny. Actually, I will say that this part of her character, and she does play it well, like in the vents and stuff, and like how she
feels
something off. It did remind me of Game of Thrones, that character that
crosses.
I forgot all these characters' names now, but you know what I'm talking about. Basically, is like, let me help you escape, and then it turns out, like, no, I'm fucking with you. I'm taking you back to your
cell. I'm taking you back. Yeah.
So it predates that, actually, but
very duplicitous.
Yes.
Yeah. So
this is where Teague asks Griff if he knows about the Knights Templar. This is where we find out a new aspect of Teague's personality, I guess.
Well, no, this is we missed Teague doing the wrist move on.
Disables him with he just goes over to him and he's down on the floor from just this one little wrist move. Yeah.
I thought maybe Teague was also gonna be an alien or something special because he was so much stronger than that other guy. And
I'm so sorry, Yaki. I feel like you were disappointed this entire episode. Like, okay, I know the aliens are up next. And then,
I mean, while this was nothing short of disappointing every scene, it also was a blast at every moment. And it's very,
So then we get the explanation of the Knights Templar. They were an organization that protected the Holy Grail.
Griff said you learned about this in Sunday school, and I was like, I don't.
There's no way they told you about the Knights Templar.
The Knights Templar. I was like, well, no.
They aren't they associated with the Holy Grail? So I don't know. Is the Holy Grail?
I don't think that would be in Sunday school.
No, it's like
someone
King
that
Arthur.
Had to go to Sunday school as a kid. I don't it's just like not a thing.
I think it's part of the King Arthur myth.
Oh, but isn't it like supposed to be Jesus's cup or something?
It is. It's Jesus's cup, but it's like this is like the mythology stuff that's like comes like this is like Indiana Jones and the
This stuff is more Indiana Jones.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, or Last Crusade was it? Yeah, Last Crusade.
Oh yeah.
So he's like, but then they got involved in politics and finance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then they acquired power. And then power corrupts.
Well, and then he just says five things: wars, assassinations, Tokyo, Hong Kong, Geneva.
Yeah.
Just
I was like, what?
Just nothing going on there. They just they just are
financial
involved
control
in
centers.
That.
Oh, yeah. Wars, assassinations, bombings,
Oh, yeah, bombings.
Financial control centers, and then several cities.
Tokyo, Hong Kong, Geneva.
As somewhere down here in my notes, I wrote, uh-oh. I was like, I don't like where this is going with with Teague. I was like, this guy has horrible conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
But he's right, right?
No.
Well, maybe.
I mean, there was a shadow organization.
There was a shadow organization, yeah. Mitch isn't going to leave Ryan, but Kyoko wants him to. And so then that's weird too, because like you would think that Kyoko would be like, let's save your friend, because she wants both of them to go up and get shot. It's very weird that, but anyway, and then she says they're interested in Mitch's association with
Teague.
It's
part of the ruse, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They're afraid of Teague and his group, and there's a secret meeting coming up with a lot at stake. And then he hears Ryan screaming. Teague says that the Knights Templar is controlled by Stollinger. They're coming to North America for a secret meeting that Mitch and Ryan don't know about.
I just had a thought. This is the only thing that sort of makes sense, but even still, it doesn't really make sense. This whole thing is just set up just so that they can get Teague to go to that place and get blown
right.
up. But I'm like, there's an easier way to do this.
Yes.
And to like kidnap people that don't really know anything about him and hope that somehow Teague will find out that they're kidnapped. But even still, no, and it doesn't make sense because he went to the hospital on his own. They were already set
Teague
up.
Teague already there. Had a, yeah, yeah he had a set at the whole team set
this
up.
Is really poorly written.
Yeah.
Wait, you're telling me this is not what they got to get the Huff involved somehow. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So then when they go in to get Ryan, two guys come in and then Kyoko, quote unquote, well, one guy comes in, I guess, and then Kyoko shoots him twice, quote unquote, shoots him.
I was upset with Mitch because he's like, you didn't have to do that. It's like,
yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. That, he's a good person.
He was going to kill me. Yeah. Come on.
So then Teague says this is the first time Stollinger is going to surface. He wants to put him down and turn the tide of evil.
Yes.
Yes. So like.
The stakes have never been higher.
Never.
Yeah. So are the, because like, the Knights Templar is the antagonist organization in all of the Assassin's Creed games.
Right.
It's the Assassins versus the Knights Templar. But they are essentially likely.
I think that
going,
was influenced by this
yes.
fucking episode, right?
Likely going
Teague
to bring.
And his crew are the Assassins and then the Knights Templar.
About the end of the world through the things that they're doing. So they're trying to stop the apocalypse. In this, it sounds like world just keeps on spinning, right? Like, they do some bad stuff, but like,
yeah, because wait, Teague says at some point he's like, every day something major happens around the world, or maybe a couple things, and they're behind it.
Nice
but he doesn't really go into details. Yeah. Like, what is he talking about? It's like, okay,
because like at a certain point, like these shadow organizations in the real world, everything that they do is money, power, etc. It's not just evil for evil's sake, right?
Right.
I mean, it's evil, but it's like. It's always for their gain.
Their own self-interest, yes.
Right.
I think they rule the world, and they like it that way. And if they didn't rule the world, it's not like they're trying to like destroy the world or anything. They just want to be the ones who are in control of it and benefit.
Wait till they find out about the cabal of satanic pedophiles.
That's what I was saying. I was like,
Pizzagate shows up.
I was like, I think Teague is like full-on QAnon.
QAnon, yeah.
This day and age.
He's like, we need. He's like, let me call up my friend Donald. He's gonna bring the storm.
Because they don't go to details, but like I said, what he's like, yeah, every day something happens around the world. They're behind it. I feel like an earthquake happens somewhere, and he's like, it's these guys. It's the Knights Templar. Like anything that happens in the world, he probably blames on them.
But I think it's kind of crazy that like this is not a conspiracy theory because it's a real thing that actually happened. But all this flooding in Dubai. Over the last few days is because they were cloud seeding. And so they were essentially like seeding the clouds to try to get more rain into Dubai. And it like basically went into overdrive. And that's why like all of Dubai like flooded in like historic floods. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that in the 90s they would say that these organizations would do. It's like weather manipulation and so an earthquake like, would be, you know, like they'd be
guys,
fracking or whatever, and that would cause earthquakes. So you never know.
Teague also works for some unnamed shadow organization.
Yes, correct.
plugged in, and he knows. He knows.
Maybe he works for the assassins.
I think he does. Also, I'm like, Teague says earlier, he's like, power. They got, and then they acquired power, and power corrupts. And I feel like Teague is going to take the spot of Stalinger if he kills him. So Teague is going to be the guy, right?
It also reminds me of like Spectre from the James Bond franchise, who's like also Blofeld, who was like their Stalinger.
Okay.
Yeah. But nobody's...
Doesn't it seem like it? Yeah.
I don't remember that character. Sorry.
Oh, I love James Bond, but it's... Yeah. I think
Blofeld
it's...
had a cat, just like Dr. Evil is based on Blofeld.
Oh, Charlie's froze on that. What is... Sorry, say that again, Charlie. You froze on that for a second.
Oh, that Dr. Evil is based on Blofeld. He had a cat, and he was
That's that character, yeah.
Mostly face to away, so that it was like always a very shadowy. So I think this is their Blofeld.
Yeah. I see. Okay. Yaki, what's your favorite James Bond film?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I like some of them that are like very good, but I also like some of the ones that are like insane.
Sure. The Roger Moore ones.
I like some of the Roger Moore ones actually.
Like A View to a Kill.
A View to a Kill, yes.
It's like he's like 60 years old. He does like a Beach Boys surfing parody and stuff. Christopher Walken's in it. Like Grace Jones is a henchman. There's 40 minutes just about horses. It's crazy, but it's like so good.
Yes. I think I want to watch that soon, actually.
I think it's probably one of the lowest rated Bond films.
I know, right?
Like,
yeah.
It's one of the ones that I would put on the most frequently.
Live and Let Die is pretty low rated too.
Actually, I don't think it is, but it is insane.
I mean, people like it, but it's like, but it's like all those Roger Moore ones were really campy. Like you're like Moonraker,
those are a lot of my most favorite ones.
There's fun.
Bond goes to space. It's fun.
I have to say, I really, really like On Her Majesty's Secret Service. I feel like if it wasn't George Lazenby, but I think that if it had been one of the, you know, the staple Bonds, if it had been a Connery, because that was the first non-Connery one.
It was a nonary, right?
I think it would be up there in the in the canon. I thought it was great.
I think by today's standards, that one is very well regarded and has like...
Well, yeah, it's definitely gotten more of its kudos, but it was unsuccessful at the time.
But I think that's also, it's not just because they switched the actors. I think it's also because they were like, let's make more of like a slower paced, artsy, like romantic love film that happens to have like a little bit of espionage, but it's mostly like a love story. And I think people were like, what is this? I want to like explosions and fast chases, and
it has like that whole skiing action.
It does, but it's a very slow movie that I feel like the first like hour and a half at least is just like him falling in love and exploring things and
like Vesper Lynd in Casino Royale.
I think it's a very good movie. I just think at the time it wasn't just Lazenby's fault. I think it bombed at the box office because it was different not style. It wasn't an action movie per se like the other ones. It was like a romance that was much slower. But it's artsy. It's a very good movie. It's just...
Yeah. I love how you guys are disagreeing over like... Well, not kind of nothing. Both agree it's a great film. and it just didn't do well at the box office. But yeah, it's probably for whatever.
No, it's great.
I think what you're saying, and I agree with this, is that if they were going to switch out the Bond actor, which they did, they should have played it safe. If they wanted box office returns, because they should have dialed up the stuff that people liked rather than experiment, which is like
which is part of its appeal, but it's a very bold to be like, we're going to switch the actor, and this is the one where we branch out into like art house film.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That was Bond Corner. but yeah, so this is, I think that they're setting Stalinger up as the Blofeld of, the Knights Templar is Spectre, of course. So then we get this thing where Griff wants to save Mitch and Ryan, and then Teague is like, it's very weird because he says they're casualties of war, I'm not going to save them, but they are my friends, so I want to save them. So Griff, your job is to save them. I'm going to go do my thing. But it's very weird because at first I thought he was like going to be like, sorry, to your friends, I got to go. But then he's like, as a guy who wants to kill Stalinger, I got to take priority. But as their friend, I really want to. So then this is the confrontation with Kyoko. I just want to say I don't have a ton of experience with guns, but I'm pretty sure that if you pull out the clip of a gun, mm-hmm. you cannot look at the bullet and within a fraction of a second determine if it's blanks.
That would make sense, unless it's like labeled right there. These are like, blanks or something.
He didn't even really look at the bullet.
Yeah, he didn't even really look. He just pulled out and he just goes, blanks.
Yeah.
I think it would have been more fun if it was like, no, he is on drugs and he yeah. is a little crazy.
Yeah. Yes.
It was more boring that the answer was like, no, he's always the best.
He's always right.
And a lot of my...
I had that thought too. I was like, yeah. I want to see tripped out Mitch that is kind of... He's yeah. making the wrong choices and messes things up. He kills her. And they're like, no, she's yeah, trying to help
us.
Like,
you know, if like, he was like, blanks, oh my God. shoots her.
Yeah, exactly.
But because, you know, my big knowledge of blanks comes from the film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, in okay. which there is a very long sequence in which the military is going to kill these terrorists, but they have clips that are, one clip is wrapped in blue tape and one clip is wrapped in red tape. Okay. And the red tape, and then they say like, switch to blue. And when they switch to blue, those are blanks. And okay. so John McClane eventually realizes it because he gets one of their guns and tries to shoot some guys. And nothing happens, like it's just like fires, yeah. and he realizes, oh, they were in on it, and that's how he takes it down. But they had to wrap those clips in blue tape because they could not just look at the right. bullets exactly. and be like, those are blanks.
Yes.
So
you are correct.
And Die Hard, I think Die Hard 2, Die Harder was already out by this time. It had been out for many years. They should have watched it for research.
And for fun.
Yeah.
And for fun.
Yeah, justice for Die Hard 2, Die Harder. I think I really like Die Hard 2.
That's just one of those like things that makes me yeah. kind of giggle. Die Harder.
Die Hard 2, Die Harder. Yeah.
Is that the actual sure. subtitle of that movie?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
That's the one where he's like in an airport, right?
That's the airport one. Yeah. Washington, D.C. But it's great. It's like very much like the first movie in an airport. But there's some fun wrinkles to it. There's like a big conspiracy. There's a great plane crash sequence. And it was directed by Rennie Harlan, who went on mm-hmm. to essentially ruin his entire career with the biggest box office bomb of all time at that point, Cutthroat Island. Gina Davis and Matthew Modine pirate
okay.
movie.
It is a
pirate
movie.
It was like
okay.
so expensive and it bombed so hard that at the time it was the biggest box office bomb in history. It's since wow. been eclipsed by like,
have you ever seen it?
John Carter from Mars. Yeah, I saw it when it came out. I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, sure, this is great.
but you didn't know yeah. it there. I've heard John Carter from Mars. I've never seen it is okay or something.
I've heard it's good. Yeah. yeah but good, the yeah. problem is that it's like, it was called, I think they just called it John Carter. I think the From Mars is from the book, and then they dropped that. So everybody was like, what the fuck is John Carter? John Wick didn't have that problem though, but it didn't cost yeah. as much. That's the thing.
Jack.
There
Reacher
was a lot of there's a lot of John movies too.
There's a lot of John movies.
John and Jack. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
All right, this has been John Corner, right?
Yeah, and Rennie Harlan Corner. So then the bad guys come in and start shooting. Oh yeah, Ryan punches Kyoko out.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't have Mitch punch her, which was a wise move.
Yes, but it was still shocking because it was so sudden. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Am I losing it?" Blanks, and then she decks her so hard, and it wasn't like a "What should we do with her?" or anything. It was just like, "I'm gonna punch her really hard in the face suddenly," and it.
She was the one who put the electrodes on her head and shocked her. So I bet that was some semblance of revenge there, right?
Okay, so it's just good character development. Okay.
Yeah, it's just character development. So then Teague says there's an internal conflict going on within the Templars. They think Stollinger is dead, and he has to show up to prove he's alive. Mm-hmm. So at the end, I guess that's the proof of life. That happens.
Osama bin Laden had that same problem with Al Qaeda. They were just like, I don't think he's alive anymore. So he had to show up at all the meetings.
Yeah.
to prove that he was still alive.
I'm still alive, everyone. Like,
okay.
I didn't hate that. I feel like that's because this episode feels like it's borrowing from everything anyway.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little bit more of an original idea. It felt like, I don't know.
It definitely felt like a almost like a corporate board meeting or something like that, where it's like, we don't think so-and-so is doing a good job as a CEO. And then they have to come in and reassure all the board members, like, I am. Because I think that's what that audio tape is like. Sounds like when he's like, I am still doing a good job. I invested in this, controlling the world.
But also at the end, why wouldn't, you know, they should have had all those guys be like, oh, shit, he's alive. They all seemed like they were
just happy. Like,
they're just happy to see him. Yeah, because if there's internal conflict and they all want control of the organization, they would be not happy that he's alive, right?
Of course.
I mean, I would argue that nothing about that final scene worked other than they played really dramatic. It's something, I guess.
Yeah. I would have liked it. Honestly, you know what would have made that scene great is if they copied Willy Wonka and had him feebly get out of the car and then do a somersault and lay pound to his feet.
It's like, ha-ha. Very nimble, actually.
All three of us were in improvised Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka, yes, at UCB.
Yeah.
Very fun show. Yaki, what were you going to say?
Oh, just that would be incredible, but this show is clearly never going to be like self-aware enough to do anything fun or like risky.
Yeah. So then Mitch and Ryan get back in the vents. Then Kyoko has some henchmen shoot the vents. But then after a couple minutes, she just was like, nah, forget it.
Okay. I also had a problem with this. They're crawling through the vents and then like Mitch is like, get down. And they both duck.
Right. I was like, shooting from below towards the bullets.
It's like, this doesn't make any sense. But thankfully, they all the bullets just go to their side, like to the left of them or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, they fill the vents with flames to try.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. But
okay,
yeah.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
That
looked cool.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, that is. But it is like one of those things. That's like how did they fill the vents with flames?
It looked real. Now it's
got from Die Hard. For sure. Die Hard 1, not Die Harder.
Can we talk about the first? So obviously the video doesn't look great overall. So I can't tell. Maybe it's more, if it was like remastered, you could tell better. But it really looked like it was Mitch and Ryan there. They duck out of the way and an actual ball of flame came out. That's what it looked like to me.
Yes.
What do you guys think happened? Was it CGI? Was it quick cut to
the 90s, I would assume it's practical for this.
It's practical, right? But I think it was real actors though, too, which is impressive too.
Yeah, I guess they were really shielded somehow, but I will also say this is the exact same thing also happened, speaking of James Bond, in the first Bond film, Dr. No, in 1960.
Mm-hmm. Bond.
They filled up the tunnels with fire in that one, or the vents in that one too. The difference is in this one, when they try to get out of the way, he shoves Ryan so hard. And that took me out of it, because it wasn't like, get down, and then he kind of like hustles her off to the side. He just pushes her and she goes, ow! And then he jumps in after her. And I was like, I don't think he needed to like hit her to get her to move.
It's very similar to what happened when Vivica A. Fox gets out of the subway tunnel and then the Labrador dog jumps over the cars as the flames come in Independence Day when she's running for it. And the dog gets right out of the way. I have a prediction for how they did this practical effect.
Okay, yeah. What
I have a feeling they put plexiglass in between.
That's kind of what you were alluding to,
Yucky.
Yeah.
Flames. Yeah.
Okay. That would make sense. Yeah. It looks great, though, truly. I couldn't tell from this. I was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Good.
Bravo. This and the gargoyle. Bravo.
They accidentally did something good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then Teague and Griff pull up to the Via Vista Hospital.
Or Vera Vista Hospital.
Vera Vista.
Which has been abandoned for, what is Mitch say, 20 years?
20 years.
Wow, yeah.
And he says that they've got like a surveillance operation going on.
They have, okay, so I don't know, about 100 yards away from the hospital, there's a trailer just out in the open. And that's where they're doing their surveillance. And I was like, I think they would notice that.
Well, and then they say there's four men inside and they're waiting on the fifth. But I would argue there's a lot more than four men inside.
Yeah.
Like, how are they mm-hmm. like sorting them out?
It turns out they're not inside, I guess.
No. Which doesn't make any sense. And that's what I thought was going to happen. When they were saying, oh, it's a trap, I thought all of Teague's operatives were going to be in on the Templar thing and turn on
him. Oh, yeah.
Which would have been kind of interesting. Almost. Yeah. Yeah. But no.
Like they take off their mask and they're all old men from the Knights Templar.
So then Mitch and Ryan are hear something while they're in the vents, and then flames come, and then they fall through the vents and climb out. Then Mitch says that they're afraid that this is when Mitch knows everything. He's like,
yeah,
they're afraid Teague will know about a meeting. She said she'd change the location. Teague is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And they're going to set him up and take him out. And then they find a chair.
This is hilarious. This is the chairs that they were like shackled in earlier.
Yes.
Ryan just bends down and like reads the label, I guess.
Bear says, Vista
Hospital. Bear Vista Hospital.
Yeah.
What's that all about? And Mitch is like, that's where they are.
And if you, and of course, all of the chairs in any hospital are made in the hospital and labeled.
Of course.
It's not a brand of chair. No, it's in-house. It just says the hospital's name.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have like chairs in the hospital and they just print the names on the back, right?
I would look and I would be like, we're in, like, I'm trying to think of a name that I see on the back of the clubhouse chairs, like the donated chairs.
Ryan Count's house.
Yeah, we're in Ryan Count's house.
That's where the meeting is. We got to get over there right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It just makes no sense. This is so absurd. She reads the label and is like, and Mitch is like, that's where they moved the meeting. So they moved the meeting to the place where they got the chairs to put in here for us.
But
like,
also
that doesn't make sense. Sorry.
It's confusing because it's like, oh, they must have got these chairs from the hospital, and then aren't they like, we're at that hospital now?
No,
I don't know. We don't know where they're at.
He says, and it's hard to understand, but I did go back and watch it because I was confused. He says, yes, that's where the meeting is going to take place because that's where we are too. So he's basically saying, yes, and also we're there. So it's like, I think they thought it was cleverer than it is, but yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So that's how he realizes that they are in Vera Vista, and he is convinced that the meeting is going to take place there.
Wait, but what's this talk about changing locations then? That he just
the location saying. Had been changed.
Yes. They're no longer,
yes.
They're not meeting at the hospital anymore, but they were going to, and Teague still thinks they are. That's why Teague comes.
Mitch has now learned that the meeting is no longer happening at the hospital. Teague believes he is, but he's being set up.
Yes. So that's
Teague comes to
the hospital.
And now I get what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
No, it's a very
show. So then in the base, Teague hears Stallinger's here. He's gonna go in. He's like, we have one opportunity, no mistakes. And then we get tactical guys with guns going through the hospital, one of whom turns out to be Griff, who just found out about this operation but gets to come. And then Mitch and Ryan are making their way through when Griff points a machine gun at them. He says they're planning a surprise for the Knights Templar. We hear Stallinger talking. He gives a speech. And then Teague and his men blow open the door and find a
tape machine.
I
had problems with this, of course. I assumed it was, at first I thought it was a speaker, and he was just like watching directly and commenting. Somehow he perfectly lined it up to reveal that this was
he knew exactly when they were going to come in and be like, exactly. Mr. Teague. I would love if you heard like, fast forward.
He's fast forward. He's like, I got to get to that spot now.
I got to get to the end. Yeah. There's a lot more stuff about our terrorism. And
he just keeps rewinding constantly. He's like, God, they still haven't showed up.
Wait, so it wasn't, I thought it was just like a live feed where he was like speaking.
No,
there's a tape
it was a
thing
recorded
there. That's what they should have done. That's
the
only thing that makes sense. It was a recorded tape.
Yeah. It was like on an old tape, how you would record like a record, like almost like not like at this time you had those little things that like a teacher would have in their classroom where you could put like a cassette tape. Mm-hmm. In it, and it would be like this big, and you just put it on the thing. But I guess it looks more impressive if you bring the entire like
reels, whatever
reels,
in
there.
Unless, do you think it's possible he was live recording it somewhere, and then he just wanted to have a recording of it for later, like it's like going in the studio.
Yeah,
but he's blowing it up, right?
But he has blown it up. That's true.
Yeah, he does blow it up because then they reveal. This is another thing about Baywatch Nights. It's like this explosion happens and like we should be finding pieces of
body
these
parts,
people.
Yeah,
we should be finding pieces of them, but we don't really. We see them drag one body out.
But that person's alive. Both of them are
alive.
That
person seems fine, but there were several of them.
There
were
several.
We
There's
don't see the rest
two,
of them.
Two or three people that we can assume are dead, but we don't see them.
Yeah.
And two survivors plus Teague, so three survivors total.
Right.
I mean, I have to assume this 90s television show had some sort of PG rating or something. They can't show, like, blown up body parts.
They sometimes
They get graphic sometimes.
Yeah.
In this season, early on, I think it was, like, episode two, there's a guy that gets his arm ripped off from, he's like on a boat. It's like some amoeba thing. I know this doesn't make sense, but he puts his hand down a pipe and, like, dissolves.
Yeah.
His arm just comes off, and it's graphic.
But maybe
I think they could
instead of like blood, because it's like it's fake like sci-fi violence instead.
Right. I mean, I didn't need to see the body parts, but what I meant was more like there should be no survivors. They should just like this should have been Teague is dead. Teague is off the show. He has been exploded.
Now, Charlie is all about the blood and guts. He was like, "Where's someone's dick? Just up there." Amongst the rubble,
find their
blast
dick.
It off. Yeah,
it's like Ryan finds something. She's like, "Oh, I found something. What do you think this is?" It's his dick, Ryan. Oh, yeah. Gross.
Would have been a fun gag. Real missed opportunity.
Take me to dinner first, Teague. So then they got to do a rescue. Blah blah blah.
Are you about to skip over this part?
I'm not skipping over it, but
this is the very Baywatch moment that we
very
get.
Baywatch moment in which they try unsuccessfully a couple of times to pry him out because he's trapped. The water is filling up. They give him very similar to the opening of the episode, a thing to breathe out of.
It's like a little
snorkel. Yeah.
But I think it's a copper pipe, probably. So yeah, but they use it as a snorkel kind of thing.
They use it as a snorkel. And then they finally do get him out. Teague many times tells Mitch to leave him, but Mitch will not do it.
There's also a moment here, I forget where exactly, but in the moment where they're just kind of on Teague, and it feels like the actor Dorian Gregory has a look on his face where you can tell he's just actually not enjoying this scene.
Yeah.
Like it's probably really cold water. He's like, oh God, I hate this so much. Yeah. I'm sure
I also was
cold.
Like, because it seemed like it looked like barrels were spilling into there, and I thought we were going to find out this is like gas or something. And so there's an added element of danger, but it feels like we were trying to convey burst pipes.
Yeah.
I see. I will say also, having watched the whole episode, and I still didn't know that he's supposed to be a private eye in this show, I thought it was just he is still a lifeguard and that's it. And so. When he has to like pull Teague out of the water, I assume that every episode of this show tries to find some way to be like, this is why we needed a lifeguard.
Not really this one. There's maybe been a couple other ones, but usually not, actually.
I see. So this was very like cute. I thought that
absolutely.
Yeah.
On Baywatch proper, there are definitely episodes that don't revolve around him being a lifeguard or at the beach or something like that. But almost always at the end of the episode, someone falls in the water or something like that, and he's a lifeguard and saves their life. Almost every episode.
Yeah. But as soon as they get Teague, they're able to get him out. And so then we cut to Mitch on a speedboat. He pulls up, and Teague is just standing on the docks. Was that just a coincidence that Teague was just like...
Was he waiting for him just to talk to him?
Was he waiting for Mitch? Because even then, Mitch is like... Hey there. And he's like, you should have left me. And I'm like, okay, so no, because they didn't leave you and there was no additional danger. That was the end of the danger. Like, as soon as they got him, they weren't in trouble anymore. So him being like, you should have left me. It's like, no, it would have been different if like Ryan died and it's like, ah, oh, I should have, you know, you should have left me and saved Ryan. But this way everyone made it out.
Yeah.
No, this is just his gruff exterior and his for this episode, at least, was to learn about friendship and that people can take care of you and you can take care of them.
I did love that aspect. It was like Mitch had to kind of like, dude, there's people that care about you. It's just like a revelation for him.
Why he never does thought he care about Teague? Teague has never expressed any caring for Ryan or Mitch. Like he like truly could give a shit about them. But it also is funny that he's like, any chance of nailing this guy? And now Teague's like, no. Nah, that was my one shot. Nah, I'm not going to get him.
he's over for it.
Then we cut to the compound where a limo pulls up. Kyoko gets out. What? It's so funny that we had to have Kyoko get out, mm-hmm. then the blonde guy,
yeah.
and then like Stollinger. Like. Yes, but it's like, you know, Kyoko and that guy should get out almost at the same time. Like, they should just, like, step out quickly. But instead, there was a reveal that we got the blonde guy.
Yeah, I guess they were just having fun with a sort of fake out, because we all kind of thought, is this the guy? And it turns out, no. Yeah. But it is funny that the revelation is that the guy is just an old man.
A very old man.
If I had any faith in this show, I would be like, yeah, they wanted to do a fake out where you think right. it's the guy. But because I'm sure this show has never thought of anything in the spot, I'm sure that guy just got out and it was bad directing that we had him.
I was going to say they didn't figure out how to coordinate the exits. And so then they realized that it's like difficult to have people get out of a car in succession. And so it would require either some careful cutting or something like that. But it just was a very funny reveal that, and then when he gets out that he's just like a feeble old man and all these other people who are significantly younger than him.
Yeah. Yeah. Are the Knights Templar? I don't know.
Yeah, they're the four leaders of the other cities.
Right. So then why are they so young looking?
Well, here's the thing. I couldn't figure out from at least the mythology of this particular show. It was supposed to be like The Last Crusade, where there's that knight who's just been there for like 900 years.
Right? Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it's like.
Oh, is he immortal?
Well, that's the thing. I couldn't tell if these people are actually immortal in this show, or if it's like, no, it's just the organization's been around for centuries.
Right. That's what I thought.
No, I think that is true, but Stollinger specifically, I think, is immortal. Teek said something about that. He's, faceless and ageless, right?
But then they're all worried that he's dead?
But if you're ageless, you don't look like you're 95. Like,
of course, that's where they messed up. They should have given the role to someone else.
And, like, it's even in The Last Crusade, it's kind of funny that, like, that knight is so old, because you would think that that immortality would kind of pause your aging, almost like a vampire. Right? Vampires don't age, so it's like... it's very funny to be like, oh, I still got to get fucking old and just be like old this whole time.
Maybe he was an old knight when he got became immortal. And
maybe, yeah. And then
it's like, I'm sure
Jesus was like, oh, you're the guy who's going to protect my cup. Got any younger friends?
Yes. I guess at least in The Last Crusade, I interpreted it to be like, it slows down his aging. So he's an old man at 90.
Oh, okay.
But it's not like, he's not going to live forever.
But it's also weird that his only job is like basically being like a trivia host.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He's like, pick the cup. Don't pick the cup wrong. Like, step over the thing.
That's a bummer of a life, actually. It's like the worst immortal life possible.
And I don't think anyone ever goes there before Indiana Jones. So I think he doesn't even get to be a trivia host. I think he's
right.
Just,
oh my God, he's been waiting.
Poor guy.
So I think he's been 900 years there. And I think he's
torture,
like, raving lunatic at that point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do there. What would he do?
Oh, my God.
No, he truly would have gone insane.
Yeah. I'd bail.
Yeah, of course.
I'd be like, I'm out. I'm out.
Holy Grail's not that important.
Yeah. It's not. It's a shitty cup.
I mean, I think also he realizes that if he leaves, he'll die, but I probably would have left a while ago.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, you're like, unless you're like, you're telling me they got, you know, PlayStations now, like.
Yeah. If he gets all everything,
PlayStation, I'm gonna stick around.
then stick around.
So that's the end of the episode. So that was season 2, episode 14, Ascension.
What is the title alluding to? Is the idea of someone potentially ascending to the leadership of the Knights Templar?
But Teague wants to essentially decapitate the Knights Templar organization. Mm-hmm. Wants to cut off the head. Yeah. So that doesn't... Ascension doesn't...
I don't know. It's a weird title.
Yeah, it is a weird title.
Also, I thought... I guess I didn't even notice, but in the very beginning of the actual footage, it starts by saying the organization, but in German.
Yes, yeah.
I think that is the German episode title.
Yeah. Yes. So these are all from German DVDs that they were uploaded, and they have different titles for a lot of the episodes.
Yeah.
I thought this episode was called The Organization.
It's a better title.
Makes more sense. It's a good title. I'm sure the Germans were like, Ascension. No.
Yeah.
We got a better title.
Okay, so now we have some awards to give out. The first being our Hofsker. This is our best actor of the episode. Everyone gets to give one.
I'm going to give mine to Kyoko. Like I said earlier, she did have that kind of Game of Thrones moment where even when they were in the fence, I was like, is she a bad guy? Is she not? Is she helping Mitch? Couldn't tell 100%. And I thought she did a good job with that. So, yeah.
I guess maybe I'll do the police detective.
Cop guy. Yeah.
Because I feel like he was entertaining. And unlike the main characters, he never like took away from the show for me. like so many people's performances in this, I was like, oh, this takes me out of it. This is bad. Whereas at least his was inoffensively neutral.
I love the idea of that actor being like, he just showed up for his parts, his scenes, and seemed like, it seems kind of like a normal show most of it. Something about a kidnapping or something. And then watching it later and being like, what did I just film? What and is this?
Like, yeah, he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, they only really gave me my scenes. So I am going to give it to Fire. I think the Fire did a great job in this episode.
It's a cool fire.
A lot of great, with some real flames, some real apparel. I'm going to give a runner-up, Hofsker, to the moment that the bomb went off, that Griff, Mitch, and Ryan all reacted to the explosion and, like, basically flew backwards and landed on the ground in a way that was very convincing to me. So
some good stunts from the actors in the show.
From the actors, episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, next is our Jilzy. This is our worst actor of the episode, our worst character.
Maybe Teague, I think, for me. Yeah. I think I'm sure he's already an unlikable character, and that's not the actor's fault.
No, but, not his fault, but yeah.
But just the fact that it opens on him just like brooding for a full 30 seconds and what's like the most over-the-top soap opera he acting, and then it ends with him like learning about friendship, and I was like, nah, this guy's not good.
I've said this before, but I wish that they had cast, and this is no offense to Teague, but I wish they had cast like a hunk in his role, like someone who was more.
He's a good looking guy.
He's a little soft looking to me. I'm thinking like imagine like a Idris Elba type. Okay. Like I'm thinking like someone who's like a little bulkier, who kind of has the you know, your. You can believe him as kind of an
CIA
agent
or something
exactly. Where like this guy doesn't seem like he really goes to the gym. He might run, but you know, like I just don't see him as someone who like he doesn't seem intimidating. And I would love if they had cast someone who was intimidating, so that you would always be like, oh, what's this guy up to? You know.
I mean, he's not mysterious or good at acting, but I thought he was like a handsome guy who looked conventionally fit. And in the beginning, he jumps over.
He looks like a normal guy. Yeah. I mean, it's fine, but I don't think he's ugly, but he's not like a hunk.
I don't know why you think he's so gross.
Yeah, Charlie.
There's just, you know, a hunk, you know, a himbo.
Hunk
when
it
you
up.
See
Come on, Baywatch Nights. Hunk it up.
Come on.
I guess I don't, because I thought this guy was hot.
You need a big, tough guy.
Hunk to me, by the way, it's just one of those words that just, for some reason, phonetically, is just a funny word to me. Hunk.
Yeah.
It's a funny word.
Hunky.
It's a great word.
It's a great word.
I don't know who mine is going to be. I guess maybe, what are you about you, Zach? Did you say Teague?
I think I'm going to go Teague as well, actually. Just the character itself is poorly written. I'll give a little co to Stollinger though too, because not the actor, whoever that who did the voices, fault necessarily, but just I was so bothered when he was asking questions and he just did not seem to understand what he was asking. It's like, what is this? So yeah, they both get it.
All right, now you said Teague, I want to change my answer, because now that I've debated it, I love Teague, but I
mean, well, you're defending him against Charlie calling him a non-hunk, basically, right?
I know, and he's so hot. That was the only thing you brought to the table. But
he's so hot. Okay.
I mean, I think he's the most attractive man in that show.
But who else is there? David Hasselhoff.
But that's the thing is now I want to change my answer. I'm going to change my answer to David Hasselhoff because he did, every line of that is bad.
Yeah.
I can't give it to him because of the Clinton line.
That just hit the right spot for you. Like, yeah. So true, Mitch. So true.
So, yeah, I think that, like, a good villain, like Stalin, like a Stalinger type, mm-hmm. would have to be someone who is so far ahead of the game.
Yeah.
That he's playing, like, 4D chess and
stuff. Of course. He's supposedly running the entire world.
The entire world, and he's wasting his time interrogating Mitch and Ryan. Doesn't make any sense.
It actually bothered me. I was like, what is this episode?
Yeah.
Yaki, there are much better episodes than this one, I will tell you right now. Okay.
I will
this
say
show is silly, but it's better. Yeah, what are you gonna
say? Well, I don't believe you, but I'll watch it.
There are better
Charlie, episodes. Back me up. Yeah. There really are.
There's the one a couple the video fun. Game one. The video game one was fun.
That sounds fun. I'll check that one out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so
Who did you give it to, Charlie?
I don't know.
You're just gonna pass. You can't just pass. That's not allowed. You have to give it to someone.
I was hoping we could just move on.
Oh my god, dude.
I will give mine. You know what? I'm gonna give mine to Teague for not being a hunk. just to balance things out.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So next is best baddie. You know, a Stalinger, disappointing as a baddie.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
I know who I'm going to give it to.
Yoko?
No, she's great. But no, I'm giving it to that gargoyle demon.
Oh, yes.
He was cool, man. I was
God, what? I totally...
So cool looking.
Yes, that's a truly, hunk.
That's a real hunk.
Can you give him the award if he doesn't exist?
He exists in Mitch's mind. That counts for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can give it to anything. You can give it to the wolf. It doesn't matter.
I'll give mine to the blonde guy then at the end. Just
oh, yeah, the bodyguard.
He captivated all of us and he was on screen for 1 second.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to give mine to the Knights Templar as a whole.
Okay.
Because they really have their hands in everything. They're tied up into everything. And, you know, Hong Kong, Tokyo, Geneva, you name it. They're there. So
they're there, yeah.
Yeah. And after playing these Assassin's Creed games and knowing the type of antagonist they are to the Assassins, I mean, Knights Templar.
Guys,
and they have cool outfits too. I do have to say,
none
of these guys, but in real life, that the Knights Templar uniform was essentially like a white. It almost looks like the English flag, but it's basically white over their armor with the cross. With the red cross. But it looks cool and intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were crusaders, right? It's that same.
They were crusaders, yeah.
You know, the good guys.
I would have loved at the end if they were all dressed in that, like they're getting together and they put on their old outfits.
Right. And especially since you know, like the Knights Templar they are an expressly Christian/Roman Catholic organization. You would think that there'd be some opposition from them being like a global force.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would have to disagree.
Teague.
Yeah.
He's the only thing we got to stop them, but he gave up. He gave it one shot and he's like, nah.
It seems like Teague's opposition to them is like completely secular though, right? Like it just seems like I just don't like the Knights Templar. It doesn't have anything to do with their religion.
No.
It's not about their beliefs. I think it's more just he works for like NSA or some sort of government secret agency.
Oh, it's way above NSA, man. Way above.
I do need to give him more credit, but I think that they probably are just like, we just don't like the idea of any secret organization that rules the world. Like, that's probably bad for the world.
Yeah, but there is can we talk about the attack on Christianity in this country? Can we talk about the war on Christmas? Because this was around, we're heading up to you got to say happy holidays at Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
At Walmart, yeah. They're not.
Years
so this is like an early 2000s. Yeah, so this is 97, but it's a prelude.
Stalinger just must have been like his main thing for years.
Yeah, he's like, I went to Walmart today, and they said Happy Holidays.
I was so pissed.
So yeah. Well, down with the Templars. I'm on Teague's side, even though he's not a hunk.
Poor Teague.
I know.
Yeah, hunk. One vote for hunk. One vote for not hunk.
What about you? What's your vote?
I'm going to abstain on this one.
You didn't let Charlie abstain.
This is true, but this isn't an actual thing we vote on.
Yeah, he does have that. It's not an official vote on that.
Yeah. I understand what Charlie's saying. No, he's not a hunk, if you will, in that sense. That you're looking for someone like, just like someone that's probably very muscular. Looks like they can actually take out six people online.
But even like, look at any James Bond before Daniel Craig.
Okay, really
looked like they would kick ass.
Good point.
Well, but you get to he's see more clever, though, his right? game, right?
Yeah.
You get to see his game. Like, you get to see and James Bond, like, woo the ladies and do his thing.
He's got charisma. He's got gadgets.
Right. It's a little different.
You're talking about the guy that gets, like, held hostage somewhere and he's, like, got his hands tied behind his back. And he gets out somehow from just power, sheer power and determination.
And you need, like, the head of the organization you need MI5 to be, like, stop it, Bond. You've gone rogue. Her Majesty is not happy. And but Teague is just like, he doesn't seem to have a boss.
Yeah.
I mean, there must be somebody higher up the chain of him than him. Maybe we just don't see
him. In Space Spore, the episode Space Spore, wasn't there a woman that was like kind of above him?
It seemed like it, but that was the only one in which it seemed like nobody at the government liked Teague.
Yeah, it was strange.
He wasn't able to command anything. And so I was like, I would love if he was fired like years ago. And he's just doing this on his own.
He's doing this job. I'd buy that.
Oh, you guys have been hanging out with Teague? How's that been? Is he doing okay?
No.
And finally, we got to rate this episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs.
Is there any episode that is a 6?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last episode was a 6.
And then episode 2 of this season.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of 6s.
The scale is a 1 to 6 in terms of bad for this show and good for this show.
Yeah, it's whatever you want it to be. But generally, yes, we you know, there are episodes in which we highly enjoy them. Or, you know, like they're all pretty fun to talk about once you get on here. I am going to give this episode a 2.5. I really felt like this was a nothing episode. It was essentially nothing.
We're thinking like the number that was in my head was 2. So
okay,
You go ahead, Yaki. Yeah,
I was just gonna say me too. I was thinking 2. Okay. I didn't know we could do half huffs, but
you can. Yeah.
Yeah, you can half it up.
You can do quarters if you want.
You can kind of mess with the scale a little bit.
No, I would never do that to him.
I will say I do think. I don't know the exact moment, but maybe the second half of this episode is a little bit better. First half, I was like, what a snooze fest this episode is. But then it had some more moments as it went along, but still not.
You
like
got to get
really
through
good.
The first half of just them not explaining anything, not telling you anything,
it's brutal.
Not knowing what's going on, like, and knowing that whatever it is, it's going to be disappointing. Like, that's the thing, is not having the confidence in this show to reveal it to me and have me be like, oh!
Yes, yeah.
We're probably clearly the budget to really do something truly cool.
Very true. Yeah. There are interesting ideas here, and if I thought that they were ever going to do anything with this Knights Templar thing beyond this episode, then I probably would have given it more credit if I was like, oh, wait till next week, the Knights Templar are going to be Stalinger's back for revenge. But no, it's like, especially not to have it lead to anything.
Mm-hmm.
To literally just have this guy get away.
Yeah, it's annoying. Do you think this is the worst episode of this season, or was there one other
one? There's one I remember that was worse. Probably the first episode of the season was pretty bad.
That was a snooze fest. Yeah.
Yeah, the Terror of the Deep.
Most of them are much better. I'm telling you.
Okay. Right, I mean, I don't believe you, but do you think that they were in their mind, they were like, we're going to bring the Knights Templar back.
Yes, 100%.
Or were they truly like, this is going to be a satisfying episode on its own, and it's a cliffhanger. The ending is just like, they get away.
I don't think they thought it was going to come back in every episode, but what I think they thought was there's going to be more seasons of this show. And as the show goes on, they can introduce a little bit. And I bet it was like an interesting idea they threw around in the writer's room. But what I've kind of noticed is there's just no follow through with anything. So like, they were like, yeah, we could set this up and it'll be cool. But then they're all of a sudden like, now we essentially have to make this guy, this old man, a cast member.
I hear what you're saying, Charlie, but I kind of lean towards like, no, they're just like, what? This is like, it's maybe something, an idea they saw in X-Files, and they were just like, yeah, just like this shadowy world organization. I'm now leaning towards
agreeing with you too, because of the end, when it's like, any chance of catching this guy? No.
That's them moving on and saying, we're not going to revisit this.
They're just like, well, that's done.
The way they play up the big music at the end, I think they were truly like, yeah, it's cool. The ending is like, this is this organization, and it's still out there today. And I think, I was like, that's not satisfying.
It looked fine. Right, like the organization didn't look scary. Like they all came out and gave him a hug, and they all met outside. This is the most secret organization in the world. They all came outside.
You are 100% right. It is funny because it should be that moment where you're like, oh shit, and now they're telling us they keep on going on, and they're still running the world. But it did feel fine. We were just like, I almost was like rooting for them. I'm like, cool. I'm glad they all met up and they're happy.
Social.
It didn't seem ominous at all. Seemed nothing wrong with it.
Like, I think if they wanted to end on this, but they wanted it to be scary, it should have ended like them in a dark war room, and there's a big map behind them where there's all these little red flags of theirs all over the world, and you're like, oh, they have their fingers in everything.
And then that they take a flag and put it like Malibu.
Is that where this is?
Yeah, it's like in that area, Malibu, Venice, something.
They're like, yeah, we're going to get them. And like, absolutely. You know, like these organizations, like in James Bond, in like Quantum of Solace, or like in John Wick and stuff, there's always like a human trafficking element to it too. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, that stuff. So then have something where it's like, we've got a crate full of people just to kind of be like, oh, these are the most evil of the evil. But when I see these friendly looking dudes giving this guy a hug and being like, hello, old man.
That's the other like, problem. They don't get into details. Teague says they're absolute evil, but then doesn't tell us one thing that they actually do that's evil. Like, because he's like, New York, Tokyo. And you're like, are you saying it's evil that those cities exist? Do they make those cities?
Yeah.
What are you telling us? I don't, yeah.
Also, I feel like...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, with Blofeld, yes, you don't see his face at all for the first, like, 20 movies, but he always has this, like, kind of unique-looking gray suit, and he's always petting a white
petting cat.
You get him, where this guy was like, we have nothing to pin him down, but you're also not going to see his face.
Yeah.
Right, and, like, it would be, it's also just funny thinking about those, like, old, like, James Bond movies, but this in particular, where the idea is, like, whether it's, like, sir, we have Teague. Teague is going to come and do this. And he's like, okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to make a recording that makes it seem like I'm giving a speech. And then I want it to play. And then at the end, I'm going to talk to him directly. But then I want to set up a little laser trip mine. So he comes and he's like, this like 95-year-old guy's like, this very clever. Rather than just like, it's like Austin Powers, where Seth Green is like, I have a gun. I'll go get it and let's just shoot him.
Yes. Let's make this nice and simple.
Yeah. I'll just go get him. We'll kill him. It'll be done.
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe he's in a cave like the knight from the Holy Grail, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's bored, and so he's just trying to come up with the most exciting way.
Little clever tricks. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. And then so he's finally out though now. He's back. He's back, everyone.
Well, Yaki, thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun.
Thank you for having me. What a pleasure.
Do you have any thing you'd like to plug?
I don't know. I'm on Instagram and various socials at Yaki Margulies, if you can figure out how to spell my name. And other than that, I don't know.
I
do music. Yeah, please, you know, go check out my music. It's also just Yaki Margulies on Spotify or Apple Music or wherever you listen to it. And please go listen to it.
Hell yeah.
I beg
you. You on Tidal?
Yeah.
Dude, everybody, Tidal's where the streaming money is at, right?
Oh, really?
That's I think they pay the most. Better than
Spotify. I mean, pays the worst, I believe.
I think you would still need a number of streams before they'll pay you.
Before they'll give you, that it'll be more expensive to pay you.
The difference is 50 cents to 5 cents or something.
The only way I've eked out like a teeny bit of money for music was through Bandcamp. That was like the only one that get money sent to you.
Was that, if I may ask, was that suggested? Like you said, pay what you
will. Did you set a price?
I have all my stuff set to pay what you will, because I'm like, I don't want to charge necessarily. If you want to have it for free, please listen to it. But also then sometimes people are like, but I feel like it's worth more than $0. So then
here's what I'm going to say right now to all the Baywatch Watch listeners.
Let's hear it.
Don't be downloading this stuff for free.
Yeah.
If you're going to listen to Yaki's music, give him money.
Yes. Absolutely.
I mean, hey,
artists work hard and they put a lot into what they do. Give Yaki a little money for his for his stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. But also just even if it's for free, just do it.
Better not be for free.
I totally get that part of it too. Just like
that's why I'm saying it. I'm allowed to say it. You can't be like, give me money, but I can say it for you. And fair I am.
All right. Yeah. Listeners, please listen to Charlie.
Yeah, just it's like he put his blood, sweat, and tears into this. He uploaded it to Bandcamp. He has to pay for internet.
Yes.
And I've got new music coming out in 2 months.
Whoa.
Okay, that's lined up well with this. Coming soon.
Nice. You didn't want to compete with Tortured Poets Department today?
I was going to come out like yesterday, and then I realized I
got to
push it back.
I got to push it back.
The Swifties are gonna, I don't want to compete with them.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for being here, Yaki.
Yes, thank you, Yaki.
And Zach and I will be back next week with an all new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. Mm-hmm. And until then, stay.
Baywatch Nights, Templar.
Stay wet. At nights, Templar.
Templar. Sorry. When the
waves are crashing. Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet.